Sorry, Evan?
Yeah, I can share just a little bit of what's been taking place and where I am now. Well, I'm Ebony Davis. I'm 28 years old. I moved here almost a year ago. It'll be September 30th. We'll make the year. Last year, from Atlanta, Georgia. I have one son. His name is Evan Davis. He's 7 years old. The epitome of my life. Everything. So I came here based on a spiritual revelation that I had with True Parents on two different occasions. Growing up in Atlanta, born and raised, it was time for a change. I had reached the limit of the company I was working for over 14 years. I was a business manager coordinator. I managed both of our buildings. I worked with senior citizens, the retirement homes, active community. So after there was no more growing or developing for me to go further, you know, I got complacent. And I wasn't being challenged enough, not just with that, but my spiritual life was non-existent. I really wasn't attending the Unification Church for some years at this time, for a lot of reasons. Growing up, my mom, my parents were witness from my spiritual grandparents back in 95, 96. So I was a Jacob's kid. We received a blessing afterwards. However, I always felt displaced because nothing was explained to me or to my siblings.
Concerning the divine principle? Or?
Well, at the time of what it all meant, what, you know, we were in a Baptist church, and then, you know, church home life would just completely change. So I was, me being the middle child, I saw a lot versus my eldest brother, who has 10 years, my senior, which he was already out the house in the military. Then my youngest brother, who is 4 years. So he doesn't recall a lot. So I saw a lot. So I'm like, okay, we went from Baptist to, what is this called? You know, so I was just trying to figure out a lot of these things on my own, because a lot of it I couldn't voice at that time because I didn't know how to express. Yeah.
So you were 14 at the time when your parents joined?
No, I was 95, 6. I was 7, 8. I was a little one. Yeah. So basically, I grew up and my baby brother was the babe. He was the baby. You know, and my other siblings, they were already grown, you know, of age where they were leaving home, going to college, and, you know, pursuing their career and starting their lives and stuff. So, but at home, it was me and my youngest brother. So at the time, of course, I didn't have no choice but to accept. I mean, I'm 8 years, so where I'm gonna go? But I just knew. So at first, it was great at the beginning. I was learning the traditions of the Korean style and how the prayer writing in Korean. Of course, I don't remember any of it now. But at that time, I was heavily involved because my parents were. Growing up and getting into my preteen years, this is when things became shaky for me. I was attending public school, so as a young lady, I'm going through different changes physically, mentally, in middle school, finishing in high school, and just not, you know, I felt comfortable, felt good to be around a generation, second gens, that, you know, we all think the same way. But however, in my real life, that's not the case. So I wasn't exposed to I was exposed to a lot of secular. And at this time, my mom was being called to do a lot of different workshops and fundraising events in D.C., New York, Illinois. And she was gone for a period of time where that time where I needed her the most, because I needed that security, that validation from my parents. But like I said, nothing was explained to, you know, when father calls, you know, you have to go, you have to do, but it wasn't translated to me, so for my understanding, you know. So I got, I started to rebel a lot because, you know, before, you know, I grew up in a family where family has always been everything. Because a lot of the divine principle is really not new to me because of how I was grown up. Like, it's always been family oriented. Growing up with my grandparents, and unfortunately I wasn't able to see my great grandparents. They had just passed away before I had came. But just being around my elders and my cousins, siblings, doing family traditional stuff that my family upholds and want us to continue to do with our descendants, so we'll know who we are and just keep up with everybody. And this is the way, you know, father talks about, you know, raising a family and, you know, as a whole. But at this particular time, I started to feel prejudice within the church, especially with Jacob and second gen kids. There was a lot of, you know, privilege, I would say. And I got confused as to why we had to be separated on so many different levels. No one really took the time to explain any of this to me.
How did that show up? I mean, would they treat you different, or they do different things?
Treating differently, doing different things, even just asking for, oh no, this is for the second gen, you know, you have to, just like little stuff, you know, like I'm like, well, I thought all this was for everybody, you know. So I just felt the separation, even within the second gen, like even collaborating or talking to a, you know, a child that wasn't born in a church, it just wasn't there, you know, breaking those barriers and, you know, all this ugliness that we all face, even to this day. So after that, and being in school and not growing up in a community where I'm exposed to unification members, because everybody in Georgia, everything is spread out. Like here, a lot of the kids go to the same college and stuff, so they have that support, you know, and that, you know, not to stray off. I did not have that. So I was leaning more to my friends at school because, you know, I didn't have my parents, you know, that love, like, at this time. Like, I am going through some deep stuff over here, you know, I'm breaking down. You know, so I got very heavily influenced by the world on certain things. Some things I still kept my dignity on, but just average things, you know. It was in my face, and I tried, but I couldn't do it on my own. So after, when I turned about 16, the last time I had saw mother was in New York, but she wasn't at the Madison Square Garden, she was at the New York Hotel. After that, that's when I kind of just made the decision, like, you know, this is not for me. I wasn't in that headspace because, you know, me going through the motion, I had to, because it's, can't disobey my parents, and it wasn't heartfelt, it wasn't resonating with me, the principle at that time. I was just doing it because that's what I was told to do. So it wasn't a choice of mine. So after graduating from high school, 18, I had already moved out home, had my place, was working, started, and was going to college briefly, and then I had stopped because my work life had took over my studying, you know, just trying to figure this all out. And then at 21, I had my son. And then this is when I start to realize more and more of the divine principle, because my union with my child's father at that time did not last, unfortunately. And that's when it clicked, you know. It's sad that it had to take me to bring forth life to realize this, but in a way it's a blessing, because he really saved me, because I was heading on a very destructive path. I was, you talking about, very selfish, self-centered. It was all about me. I was very materialistic. I was a mess. So, after giving birth, and I realized what damage I caused, and being repeating the same cycle for the third generation, because it stops with me. Like, this is it. No more of this breakdown of, you know, your spouse is not included, or, you know, so it stops with me. And I came back to my mom, and just, I remember just repenting and just bawling out, like, with tears for a good hour without even saying anything. And I think a lot of that was just for all my wrongdoing, going against, you know, even when, you know, I left, I really wasn't trying to hear what, you know, my parents were trying to, you know, explain to me at the time. They was trying to save me, not want to hurt me, because, you know, being a teenager, you know
everything.
Yeah, like, what do you know? Like, you don't know my struggles, like, as right. if you wasn't young. But it seemed like eons ago. But at the time, you know, I used to look at my parents like, oh God, you know, why are we even having this discussion? But I realized, like, oh my God, all they was doing is protecting you, trying to save you, make you realize, but I was so asleep, you know, spiritually, that it didn't trigger until after my son Evan was born. And going through life and raising him for all his life by myself, and I'm like, I won't wish this even on my worst enemy, you know? And just those challenges and being the only breadwinner, and, you know, just life in itself, you know? So by this time, I didn't know my mom was on a prayer condition for me to return, but on my own will. She did that for 7 years for me. And when last year, when after me and Evan went on vacation and I came back, I said, Mom, I'm at this point where I want to serve God and God only. I realized that you cannot straddle the fence. You can't be lukewarm. You cannot serve two masters. It's exhausting. I've got to go crazy, you know? And then it's just over the course of time, life and just experiences and things that I went through, I'm like, you know, I'm done. Like, God, forgive me. And this is when True Parents revealed themselves to me. And when I remember calling my mom, it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I lived a good 30, 40 minutes away from my mom. My mom got to me, I don't know how she did it, within 15. When I told her I'm ready to dedicate my life and give my life to the unification, to the principle, the way of how I'm supposed to carry myself as a daughter, as a sister, and as one day a potential wife, you know, be that example. And she just took Evan. I remember her busting through my back door, like, because I was in the kitchen cleaning or whatever. She said, don't say nothing. She said, Evan, let's go. And I said, well, can I get his phone? No, don't worry. Go. Because she didn't want me to change my mind. Like, because the energy within the universe, everything was just like, I can't explain how perfect the energy was. And so she just got out of there quick. And she said, do what you got to do. Leave Evan here with me until you find your way and get yourself established. And because I had told her within calling her that morning that, you know, Father said to go west, go to California, to San Bernardino. I don't know anybody here, but that's what was said to me.
So what was said to you? So what, you had a vision or what?
He appeared to, in my dream, basically, like, just accusing, like, where is my daughter? You know, you are so much better than this. You know, the life that you can have, so much a better life centered on God. Where is God in your life? Because I wasn't attending a church. I would go to certain spiritual camps to kind of meditate, but like reading on a constant basis of spirituality, motivation, it wasn't there. Mind you, within those 7 years, I did go to different denomination of churches. I went to Pentecostal, Methodist, but nothing never really touched me like how the divine principle did. Like, no one was teaching about the family and the importance. Everything was so like prosperity, material things and stuff that I got from visiting these different churches. It was lack of attendance to the real issues, you know, not talking about man's position and woman's position, like how we talk about. So that didn't last very long. So I just wasn't moved from it. So
Father came to you in a dream?
Father and mother appeared to me in a dream, and I just cried and just expose myself of just pure honesty and voiced out all my wrongdoing, my improper, because I knew what I did was wrong. I knew carrying on a relationship that was not centered on God, or God was nowhere near, but it was very horizontal. Going against my parents' wishes, they knew of him, of course, but they said, do not, and I went against that. Just knowing things, but doing the complete opposite. And for a while, long time, I couldn't look at my parents in the face, you know, because they expected more, and they knew I knew better, you know. A lot of it had to do with, you know, oh, I can prove you wrong, that this can work on these type of standards, you know, based on the world standards, and it doesn't. It never works out. It doesn't last, you know. And this is what I have come to realize. And if anything, I'm grateful now, I can say, of the course that I went through, a lot of the suffering I had to endure. That was me having to, you know, realize that you can't do what you want and expect God to be, you know, to bless you, you know. So after, at the time I couldn't admit it, but now I'm an open book. I can be honest and state my wrongdoings without feeling ashamed, because I repented for it. I just gave it all, and like, you know, and be an example, like, for other generation brothers and sisters, this ain't what you want. It's a long road, it's a hard road, and it's not worth giving your heart, your mind and your body to something that is not gonna stand the test of time on God's side, you know. So after realizing that, and after True Parents appeared to me twice and spoke to me, and, you know, I said, I made my mind up, you know. I would only serve Heavenly Parents and only that, you know. I cannot afford to go back, because I'm saying, it's not even about me anymore. It's about my son. What example or foundation am I laying for him to follow, you know, because he sees everything that I'm doing, you know. One thing about me, even when I was really into worldly things, I never exposed him to whatever I was doing, my private life, in front of him, my home life. That's one thing I kept out. My grandmother was always, I would hear her voice saying, your home is your temple and your peace. You have to keep a clean home and mind the company that you keep. Because people come with spirits. Some are good, some are bad. Don't have everybody in your temple where your peace is, your home. So I always, you know, kept minimum of that. You know, I would go wherever, you know, to do whatever. But at home, because of my child and, you know, providing a good, stable home for him and a healthy one with his sibling, with his cousins and stuff, you know, that's what I did. So, and then making him, he understands because they do 100K every morning, so he listens and he knows about the fall. And I just, the reason him being with his grandparents to see what a family structure is supposed to be like. Because he has asked questions like, where's mommy's, you know, husband or whatnot, you know.
His father.
He hasn't gotten to that point yet. Mm. It's coming. And we, you know, me and my family, we, you know, when that time comes, we'll have an explanation as to why he's not in the picture. It's his choice. But to understand the four position foundation, you know. God as a center, husband, wife, and children. So, because at this time, of course, I wanted him to be here this summer, but things with work did not go the way I planned. And this is what something I was struggling with, because I do have a controlling nature within me. I'm working on it. I can admit, you know, I have issues. However, and what I realized and how to overcome is the process. So, So my mom was like, don't worry, you know, you have to focus on what's important. And that is to establish your family on a solid foundation centered on God. So just lend more of my time and devotion to that than worrying about so much external things. Because I'm talking to a person who's been working for like since the age of 13 and been in the corporate world since 16. So it's a big transition for me. This is my first time not working for a company or whatnot. So I have to undo what I thought is normal, you know, what is, you know, and it's not.
So you had two dreams, two visions of your father? Was it the second one when he said go west?
Yes.
Okay, so.
I was in a restroom. Yeah, in the bathroom, getting ready for work. And that's
you getting yourself ready for work? And
yes, in the mirror. Him and mother was in my mirror. And I looked behind because I was like, well, I know. I'm seeing stuff. So I looked. I said, oh my God. So I just held my head down and said it's time to leave. There's no growth here for you, spiritually, mentally, and even for your son. And it just so happened me coming here was such a smooth transition. He appeared to me, what was that, June. My lease was coming up that August. So I had September. So I had July, August, I had 2 months to pack up and get rid of and let my job know that, you know, I gave them my notice, gave them a 30-day notice after my mom made some communication here as to who to identify with for me to be re-educated in the divine principle. And that's how my mom told me about Reverend Juan Morales, mm-hmm. based on Catherine Duncan, another sister that lives in Las Vegas, because my mom comes twice a year to Las Vegas for a 7-day workshop.
So this was a time where she had just gotten back from Vegas and made that communication. That's how I was introduced to Reverend Morales. He never met me before. He never knew my mom. He just went based off on faith. And because once we were in communication, I was calling him twice a week, every week leading up to me coming. Just to get to know, just talking about, you know, whatever, just life, how's your day, you know, just simple things, nothing too deep. And then I was here September 30th. So yeah, I had given my car back to the bank and all of that. Yeah, so it was a very smooth coming here on faith, which I never had. I never done anything on faith, really relying on God. Because I'm such a control freak, like if I have to have everything planned and organized, like at this certain time, I just let it all go. And I felt so good, like that weight being lifted and having such clear conscience. Because I was overthinking, I was stressed out from work, just from life, period. You know, it was just too much. I was gonna end up having a breakdown sooner or later because I was just overbooked, overworked, overwhelmed. Not enough time for me, even though I did a lot of vacation, but I couldn't even really enjoy that because I'm always thinking about what's going back at home, what I gotta do next week. I couldn't really enjoy, you know, experience true enjoyment and being happy because I'm worrying about X, Y, Z, you know,
so,
where am I gonna go?
So you were going from Atlanta just all the way down to California?
Yeah, that's what I did. And I showed up here, I flew in, took an Uber all the way to Camp Atundar, and
Are you a rematch?